Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, a man in Texas owned a dog that he kept outdoors at night for protection. Late at night, a thief concealed himself in some bushes on the man's property, planning to steal some of his valuables. The watchdog barked continuously, warning his owner of the danger. The man went outdoors briefly, looked around, saw nothing unusual because the robber was well hidden. The master ordered his dog to be quiet. The man went back into the house, but his canine continued to bark. Now very annoyed, he threatened his pet and commanded him to stop barking. Returning to his home, the man just wanted some peace and quiet. However, his dog would not stop barking at the hidden intruder. The man became very angry, got his gun, then shot and killed the poor animal. Shortly after returning to his room, he was brutally murdered and robbed by the thief. Sadly, in Our Lady's modern approved apparitions, many of her pleas and warnings to Catholics have also been unheeded. There are many miracles that clearly express our Heavenly Mother's deep love for us and her concern for our temporal welfare. Particularly fascinating is the perpetual miracle of Lourdes. At the hospital, the patients are segregated according to gender, but not according to disease. Persons with many different kinds of sickness are packed together in one room, as close as the beds will fit. At the baths, the water is changed only twice a day. Patients with running sores, with cancerous growths, and with every kind of infectious disease are plunged in one after the other. Yet neither in the hospitals nor in the baths has there ever been a case of a patient becoming worse or contracting a new disease. At the beginning of the century, a group of doctors tried to close Lourdes on the grounds that it was unsanitary. Their attempt failed because they could not find a single case of infection resulting from a visit to the shrine. At Lourdes, an English nurse once said, "We find Our Lady putting microbes and bacilli firmly in their place." This flouting of the microbe, the suspension of the usual laws of nature, has been going on for more than a century. However, the Blessed Virgin Mary's primary concern for us is for the salvation of our immortal souls. St. Louis Marie de Montfort has written that Our Lady loves us tenderly and more tenderly than all other mothers put together. Throw, if you can, all the natural love which all the mothers of the world have for their children into the heart of one mother for one only child. Surely, that mother will love that child immensely. Nevertheless, it's true that Mary loves her children still more tenderly than that mother would love that child of hers. In the period between 1830 and 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary has made more appearances approved by the Catholic Church than any other period in history. In all her urgent messages to Catholics, Our Lady's purpose is always the same: the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. St. Louis Marie de Montfort describes our Heavenly Mother's striking role. Mary must shine forth more than ever in mercy, in might, and in grace in these latter times. In mercy to bring back and lovingly receive the poor strayed sinners who shall be converted and shall return to the Catholic Church. In might against the enemies of God who shall rise in terrible revolt against God. She shall rise, shine forth in grace in order to animate and sustain the valiant soldiers and faithful servants of Jesus Christ who shall do battle for his interest. And lastly, Mary must be terrible to the devil and his crew as an army ranged in battle, principally in these latter times, because the devil, knowing that he has but little time, and now less than ever to destroy souls, will every day redouble his efforts and his combats. My dearly beloved in Christ, in the Garden of Paradise, Almighty God foretold the battle for immortal souls between the woman who is Mary and Satan, the serpent, when he said, I will put enmities between thee and the woman. She shall crush thy head. Our Lady's victory is certain. She will crush Satan's head. In the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. The battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil is now more intense than ever before. Three events have contributed to this universal loss of faith or great apostasy of our present day: Protestantism, the French Revolution, and modernism. By means of the Protestant Revolution, Satan attacked the very things most needed for the salvation of our souls: the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, the Sacrament of Penance or Confession, and devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The French Revolution was a public rebellion against God, the Catholic Church, and Our Lady. Due to secular thinking, people seemed to no longer need God in their lives. They felt that they themselves were completely in control of their own destiny. As a result of this anti-religious spirit, millions were focused primarily on the pursuit of sinful pleasures, wealth, power, and material things. Deceived and blinded by Satan's lies and illusions, people's minds paid scant heed to God. Their hearts had no room for him. His holy will did not figure into their plans and aspirations. Although they seemed to be sure they were building a better world and ensuring a brighter future without God, events have proved their fatal errors. They were dead wrong. Modernism laid the axe to the root of Catholicism by attacking the foundation of our religion, the deposit of faith revealed by God and the chief means of grace, prayer and the sacraments. It attacks all the doctrines of the Catholic faith along with devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Millions of Catholics, clergy and laity, were affected, lost their faith, and became worldly and self-centered. As a loving mother, Mary is aware of the spiritual dangers facing her children, continually prays for us, and tries to lead us to God. Empowered from the beginning to crush Satan's head, Our Lady has been the protectress of the weak, the refuge of sinners, the destroyer of heresy, and the preserver of chastity. The stories of Our Lady's apparitions during the 19th and 20th centuries include the Miraculous Medal, La Salette, Lourdes, Knock, Fatima, Bereng, Benoît, etc. And they're filled with supernatural marvels. They were proven to be authentic by countless miracles and receive the approval of the Catholic Church. During her appearances in modern times, the Mother of God has pleaded with Catholics to amend their lives, to pray the rosary, and do penance for their sins. During these appearances, the Blessed Virgin Mary repeatedly expressed her deep sorrow over the evil consequences of sin and the loss of souls. Mankind has repeatedly offended God by mortal sin and must be punished. Worse, unless people prayed and did penance for their sins, they would experience even more dire suffering than temporal punishments. Ultimately, countless souls would endure the infinitely worse torments of an eternal hell. Having witnessed the sacred passion of her divine Son, Our Lady knows what a high price Jesus paid for us to go to heaven. If we had seen even one of our Lord's sacred wounds, we would never want to sin again. She has seen them all. The Blessed Virgin Mary continually prays for poor sinners and does all in her power to bring about their conversion. How hard she labors for our salvation. Our Lady's Immaculate Heart grieves over the tortures lost souls have to endure for eternity in hell because they refuse to repent, even to the end. How sorry Mary is for sinners who are burning in that everlasting fire For they chose to love mortal sin more than God, despite Christ's infinite love and all he endured in his passion for their salvation. During Mary's many approved appearances in modern times, she laments the hardness of people's hearts. So many people fall into hell. So many people. And nobody pays any heed. They continue to commit the same sins and are not responsive to her cries for conversion. One of the purposes of the Blessed Virgin Mary's apparitions is to turn us away from the greatest evil in the world, mortal sin, to hate it, and to offer reparation to God by our prayers and penances. The Baltimore Catechism reminds us that mortal sin deprives the sinner of sanctifying grace, makes the soul an enemy of God, takes away the merit of all its good actions, deprives it of the right of everlasting happiness in heaven, and makes it deserving of everlasting punishment in hell. My dearly beloved in Christ, there is no doubt that repentance is a necessary condition for forgiveness. God will not forgive us any sin unless we have true contrition for it. Contrition is sincere sorrow for offending Almighty God and hatred for the sins we have committed with the firm purpose of sinning no more. Sin is an infinite offense against God and is hateful in itself. From the sufferings and death of Christ, we learn God's love for man and the evil of sin for which God, who is all just, demands such great satisfaction. A sinner must realize the number and seriousness of his sins and want to make up for them. Sinners must repent, do penance, and amend their lives. If sinners do not reform, God will punish them. We've heard this over and over again, but either forget or do not care to change. Our Heavenly Mother did not appear just once, but many times, because her words were falling on deaf ears. Our Lady's words are a warning to the world. We must amend our lives and stop sinning, or Almighty God will punish us. Our Heavenly Mother asks us not only to repent of our past sins and do penance for them, but also to amend our lives for the future. Since sin offends God and draws down upon us his chastisement, we must try to avoid it at all costs. The enormity of mankind's rebellion against God and his infinite aversion for sin formed the foundation of the Blessed Virgin's message. Our Lady foretold the temporal punishments that would come if people did not amend their lives. But primarily, she came to tell us how to keep out of hell. Yet, the temporal punishments are secondary. They are punishments that strangely impress us more than hell. Yet all the bleeding, dying, and despair of a thousand wars cannot equal the disaster of a single soul being damned. At her apparition of 1830 to St. Catherine Labouret in Paris, the first words that Our Lady spoke could be repeated today regarding the condition of the world and the snares set by Satan to bring about the ruin of souls. Mary was very sad when she said, "Times are very bad. The whole world will be in an upheaval due to all sorts of troubles." She added the following, "Graces will be shed upon all those who ask for them with confidence and fervor. A moment will come when danger will be great. It will seem as if all were lost, but have confidence. I will be with you. The cross will be scorned. It will be thrown to the ground. They will again open the side of our Lord. The whole world will be in sorrow." At this point, Mary could no longer speak. Her features expressed profound grief. Our Lady's last words to St. Catherine on this visit were, "My eyes are ever upon you. I shall grant you many graces. Special graces will be given to all who ask them, but people must pray." The Blessed Virgin's deep sorrow over our sins and their consequences can be seen at her apparitions at La Salette in France. In 1846, at La Salette, Our Lady appeared to Melanie and Maximin. She was seated, bent forward. Her face was bowed in her hands. Her elbows rested on her knees. She was weeping and never ceased to weep until shortly before she disappeared. The Blessed Virgin spoke in a voice of surpassing gentleness. Its sound was as soothing as it was commanding. It fell upon the children's ears with the power to attract, penetrate, reassure, such as no other voice had ever exerted upon them. "Come to me, my children," the woman said. "Do not be afraid. I'm here to tell you something of the greatest importance. If my people will not obey," she said, "I shall be compelled to loose my son's arm. It's so heavy, so pressing, that I can no longer restrain it. How long have I suffered for you? If my son is not to cast you off, I'm obliged to entreat him without ceasing. But you take no heed of that. No matter how well you pray in the future, no matter how well you act, you'll never be able to make up to me what I have endured in your behalf." Our Lady of La Salette foretold a great famine and punishment for the sins of swearing and profanation of Sundays. But before that happens, children under 7 years of age will be seized with trembling and die in the arms of the parents holding them. The grown-ups will pay for their sins by hunger. The Blessed Mother gave the people hope by telling the children, "If people are converted, the rocks will become piles of wheat, and it will be found that the potatoes have sown themselves." The merciful Mother of La Salette wears on her breast the image of Christ crucified. To one side of it is a hammer. The hammer, wielded by sin, drove in the nails which fixed his hands and feet to the cross. To the other side of it is a pair of pliers. The pliers, wielded by contrite and faithful love, can draw out the nails. Let all who use the hammer, and who is accepted, now use the pliers. At La Salette, the Blessed Virgin confided a secret to Maximin and Melanie that Melanie could not understand, although she saw Our Lady's lips moving. Afterwards, the Mother of God turned to Melanie and entrusted a secret to Melanie that Maximin could not hear. 5 years after the apparition, Pope Pius IX said he would like to know the secrets. The children agreed to write them, provided they were placed in sealed envelopes and delivered directly to the pontiff. In his book, The Holy Mountain of La Salette, Bishop Ullathorne gives additional facts about the secret of La Salette. Seeing that the children were so determined not to deliver their secret open, that they were as firmly resolved to give it to no one but the Pope, the Bishop of Grenoble appointed certain witnesses, respectable laymen as well as clergymen, to be present while Maximin and Melanie wrote each their secrets. They were introduced into the same room and were placed at separate tables. Whilst writing, Maximin asked how the word pontiff was spelled. It said that Melanie betrayed much emotion while she wrote her letter, but was in no way embarrassed and wrote rapidly. She suddenly stopped and asked the meaning of the word infallibly. She also asked the orthography and meaning of the word Antichrist. Many people wondered what was contained in the two secrets. After Pope Pius IX had read both secrets, he said, "Do you wish to know the secret? This is it. Unless you do penance, you shall all perish." Before Our Lady of La Salette returned to heaven, she looked upward for some time with great joy. This was the only time since the children had first seen her that she ceased to weep. It's Melanie's impression that when the apparition disappeared, the last looks of the Blessed Virgin were mournfully cast toward Rome. 24 years after Our Lady's apparition at La Salette, Vatican I defined the dogma of papal infallibility. This dogma, together with the emphasis of the words pontiff, infallibly, and antichrist, and the secret of La Salette, and Our Lady's sad glance toward Rome before going to heaven provide traditional Catholics with much to ponder. The Alta Vendita, Italian Freemasons openly disclose their plan to infiltrate the papacy. This is confirmed by Pope Leo XIII in his prayer to St. Michael. Even the holy place where the See of Blessed Peter and the Chair of Truth was set up to enlighten the world. These most cunning enemies have raised the abominable throne of their impiety with the iniquitous hope that the shepherd may be stricken and the flock scattered abroad. The words contained in the Secret of La Salette correspond with the words of St. Francis. There will be an uncanonically elected pope who will cause a great schism. There will be diverse thoughts preached, which will cause many, even those in the different orders, to doubt. Yea, even agree with those heretics, which will cause my order to divide. Then there will be such universal dissensions and persecutions that if those days were not shortened, even the elect would be lost. In the 15th century, St. Nicholas of Fluke predicted, the church will be punished because the majority of her members, high and low, will become so perverted. The church will sink deeper and deeper until she will at last seem to be extinguished, and the succession of St. Peter and the other apostles to have expired. But after this, she will be victoriously exalted in the sight of all doubters. In her apparitions leading up to Fatima, Our Lady stressed the re-Christianizing of society, or as Pope St. Pius X stated, to restore all things in Christ. The Mother of God repeatedly came to summon Catholics away from sin, especially those of impurity and indecent fashions, blasphemy, impiety, the non-observance of Sunday, the lapse from prayer and mortification. Society and nominal Catholics had abandoned God. Our Heavenly Mother forcefully told Catholics that they would suffer disaster if they did not return to God and amend their lives. It was during the widespread unemployment, disease, and moral breakdown of the mid-19th century France that Our Lady appeared at Lourdes in order to penetrate the darkness and atheism of that age. The faith of millions had been eroded by evil ideas that had been promulgated by Freemasons, atheists, and agnostics of the time. The Blessed Virgin Mary came to rekindle and revive the faith of the people. In 1858, only 4 years after the Church had proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, Our Heavenly Mother appeared at Lourdes for a total of 18 times in the Grotto of Massubiel, a wall of high rocks near the river. The Blessed Virgin chose Lourdes because it had a constant and rich Catholic heritage. From the time of the city's first conversion, the faith of its citizens never wavered. Through fierce persecution from the times of the Roman emperors and the Germanic barbarian tribes, continuing through the Arian and Albigensian heresies, the Protestant revolt, and the French Revolution, the people's faith endured in triumph. This steadfastness in the faith was attributed to their deep devotion to Mary. The words of the Blessed Virgin Mary to St. Bernadette Lourdes were short and concise. She said, I cannot make you happy in this world, but I promise to do so in the next. Prior to Our Lady's apparitions to St. Bernadette, St. Bernadette and her family suffered one misfortune after another. Spiritually, the experience of these difficult years was good for St. Bernadette because she became accustomed to suffering. Seeing it patiently borne, she learned to accept it and look forward to heaven for the fulfillment of her hopes. On February 11, 1858, St. Bernadette left her home to gather firewood, walking with her sister and friend to Massubiel. Hollowed out of rocks by nature and facing the river is a grotto about 12 feet in depth and of considerable height. Just on the arch of this grotto to the right is a natural niche that's not very deep. This niche, now marked by a statue of Our Lady, is where our Heavenly Mother appeared to 14-year-old Bernadette, a frail, sickly young lady. The beautiful lady was dressed in white with a light blue sash. A white veil covered her head and fell over her shoulders to the ground. The Blessed Virgin Mary seemed to rest on the rose tree in the grotto, as two large golden roses covered her feet. The first message of Our Lady of Lourdes to Saint Bernadette in the world was to make the sign of the cross devoutly before reciting prayers. Here is her description of the event. I took my rosary from my pocket. I wanted to bless myself, but I couldn't raise my hand to my forehead. It fell back down. Then fear took hold of me. My hand was shaking, yet I remained where I was. The lady took the rosary, which was wrapped round her wrist, and made the sign of the cross. I tried to do the same, and this time managed to. As soon as I made the sign of the cross, my fear disappeared. I knelt down and recited the rosary with the beautiful lady. The Blessed Virgin Mary joined in the recitation of the Glory Bees. Our Lady carried the rosary in all her apparitions and taught Saint Bernadette to pray it well. Saint Bernadette had received the first spiritual lesson, and she never forgot it. The manner in which she made the sign of the cross became a continual source of edification. If they make the sign of the cross in heaven, it can only be made in this way, declared one enraptured observer. During the fourth apparition, Our Lady's face was saddened as she said, "You will pray to God for sinners." Saint Bernadette was crying, and from that day until the end of her short life, she prayed tirelessly for the conversion of poor sinners. Before leaving, the Blessed Virgin's smile reappeared. While kneeling in ecstasy during the eighth apparition at the grotto, Saint Bernadette again appeared very sad. Then rising from her knees and with tears in her eyes, as if in response to a command, she addressed the assembled people with words she had just heard from the Mother of God. Penance, penance, penance. The civil magistrate and superintendent of police, Jacquemet, cross-examined, humiliated, slapped, and harshly treated Saint Bernadette, even threatening to imprison the young lady. Monsignor Francis Trocou has written, "Over the years, investigators of every sort ended by proving, contrary to their wishes, that Saint Bernadette was neither a fraud, an exploiter, nor a hysteric. Our Heavenly Mother told Saint Bernadette, 'You will tell the priests to have a chapel built here. I wish people to come here in procession.' The pastor replied, 'If she comes again, ask her to tell you her name.' Early in the morning of March 25th, 1858, Saint Bernadette was awakened by an inner call and went to the grotto. Even though it was 5 a.m., the Maso Biel was crowded with people praying. It was on this occasion that Our Lady requested Saint Bernadette to leave the lighted candle after her in the grotto. Thus, another practice at Lourdes, in addition to the miraculous water and the processions, owes its origin directly to the Blessed Mother of God. In ecstasy, Saint Bernadette began to feel a more intense eagerness than ever before to learn the identity of her Lady. As if to encourage her, the vision came down from the niche into the grotto. Saint Bernadette drew near and stood, lighted candle in hand. "Madame," she said resolutely, "will you kindly tell me who you are?" A bow, a smile, but no direct answer was forthcoming. Feeling emboldened, she put the question again, with a like result. A third time, she asked the lady who she was. Thereupon, the lady disjoined her hands and extended her arms, as portrayed in the miraculous medal, allowing her rosary beads to slip down towards the wrist. Rejoining her hands, she placed them before her breast, raised her eyes to heaven, and proclaimed, "I am the Immaculate Conception." With a smile, she immediately disappeared. Quickly, the child set off for the priest's residence, repeating the phrase to herself, lest she forget it. For though she prayed to Mary conceived without sin and wore the miraculous medal, the words "Immaculate Conception" conveyed no meaning to her. Father Peramal did not appear pleased to see Saint Bernadette again. "What do you want today?" he said gruffly. I am the Immaculate Conception, was a surprising answer. His cry, "What are you saying?" brought the needed explanation that the lady had just used those words. He was so utterly confounded, he almost fell to the ground. Mastering his emotion, he asked, "Do you know what that means?" When she answered, "No, Father," he reproached her for saying things she did not understand and packed her off with the final promise to look into the matter. The words of our Immaculate Mother, together with the miraculous spring at the grotto, convinced Father Perumal that Our Lady had truly appeared to Saint Bernadette. He quickly sent a letter to his bishop regarding these events. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Saint Bernadette 18 times in 1858. The last apparition of the Mother of God at Lourdes was not the end of the story. It was just the beginning. In her first five apparitions at Fatima, Our Lady called for prayer and sacrifice and reparation for the sins of the world and to obtain the conversion of poor sinners. Finally, on October 13, 1917, she insisted a last time, saying, "Men must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins." Then, with a more sorrowful air, and with a suppliant voice, she added, "Men must no longer offend our Lord, who's already offended too much." Commenting on Our Lady's words, Lucia writes with emotion, "The part of this last apparition which has remained most deeply impressed on my heart is a prayer of our Heavenly Mother, begging us not to offend any more Almighty God, who's already much offended." What a loving reproach is contained in these words. What tender pleading. Our Lady's message emphasizes God's infinite mercy and justice. In heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary continually intercedes for us, asks God to avert his chastisements for our sins, and implores the graces we need to turn away from evil and grow in virtue. Mary's eyes of mercy are continually turned toward us as she tries to direct us away from sin into heaven. Mary speaking in God's name at Paris, La Salette, Lourdes, Knock, Fatima, Bering, Beno, etc., manifested mercy. The concern that people renounce their sins, avail themselves of divine pardon, and then proceed in righteousness and peace. Her weeping was prompted by mercy, recognition of man's basic need to know, love, and serve God. Recognition of man's increasing failure to do so. Recognition of the calamity inevitable in the train of this failure. And a determination to take extraordinary means to awaken man to his error and his peril, lest he perish. In her mercy, she demanded that what was wrong be righted. In her mercy, she pledged that should this condition be met, all would be well. Times have proved very many continue to ignore Mary's motherly pleas and tears. What more does it take to wake them up and heed her words? The following incident occurred in the town of Heliopolis, located in Phoenicia of Lebanon. There was a certain actor by name Gaianus who was blaspheming in the theater the Holy Mother of God and offered to the people a spectacle of blasphemy. Now, the Holy Mother of God appeared to him in sleep and said, "What evil have I done thee that thou shouldst speak evil of me and blaspheme me before so great a multitude?" After the vision, he not only did not amend, but even blasphemed the more. Again, then, the Holy Mother of God appeared to him, rebuking him and saying, "Do not, I beg, do not thus injure thy soul." This notwithstanding, he went on blaspheming her yet worse. She therefore appeared to him a third time, repeating the same words. Then, as he did not amend, but went on adding to his blasphemies, she appeared to him at midday while asleep, and without saying anything, made a mark with her finger alone on his hands and feet. On awakening, he found himself maimed of hands and feet. And so the unhappy man, as he lay now, a useless trunk confess to all for what cause and how it was that he thus suffered, and that on account of his blasphemies he had been mercifully punished. As a final point, think about your day-to-day lifestyle, not merely whether you go to Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation, but how you speak, dress, treat others, manage anger, carry your cross, etc. How do you generally say your prayers? Honestly evaluate your day-to-day routines and ask yourself if you have compromised any of God's commandments, because it would be difficult to do otherwise, or because you would stand out among the crowd and be embarrassed by being different. The most dreadful evil in the world, an evil that calls down the severest punishments upon mankind, is the sin of impurity. This vice has taken 100 times more souls to hell than all other sins together. Daily, thousands of men and women are plunged into the awful fires of hell that Our Lady showed the children of Fatima by this sin. Moreover, it provokes God's anger on us even in this life. It so weakens the character of a sinner and lessens his moral strength that he becomes capable of every mean and base act. Those who view immoral websites, movies, television programs, books, and magazines commit sins of impurity. Persons who wear indecent clothing styles are responsible for the countless sins and gravely offend God. In addition, indecent lyrics, dirty jokes, and impure conversations lead many into sin. In the current condition of the Church, it's extremely difficult to live as a virtuous traditional Catholic. More and more people are turning away from religion every day, serving themselves rather than God. Millions have contempt for God's laws and ridicule all that is sacred. Sadly, countless fallen away Catholics have spurned the holy sacrifice of the Mass, neglected the sacraments, and have abandoned prayer. In her approved modern apparitions before Vatican II, Our Lady came to warn and to plead. She came to save souls, converting sinners, calling Catholics back to the fervent practice of the faith, inducing them to pray, especially the daily rosary, and to do penance and reparation for their sins. My dearly beloved in Christ, we must do what's necessary to persevere. First and foremost, you must stop sinning. If your spiritual life is now lukewarm, get back to the basics. Faithfully attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass every Sunday and holy day of obligation, and more if possible. Devoutly pray at least 5 decades of the rosary every day. It's a prayer most pleasing to our Heavenly Mother and most efficacious to our salvation. It gives our soul grace, power, and protection. Practice true devotion to Mary. A devout servant of Mary will never be lost. Go to confession and spend some time in adoration of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Make reparation for your sins by penance and fasting. Be humble and cease to complain. Pray daily for the grace of final perseverance. Make use of blessed sacramentals such as a crucifix, statues and pictures of our Lord, Our Lady, and the saints, the Saint Benedict medal, holy water, etc. Have your home blessed and enthroned at the Sacred Heart of Jesus by a priest. In closing, Our Lady is pleading with us to be generous with God. We must follow Christ and His Church, not the spirit of the world, if we expect to end up in heaven. As with millions of Catholics who have heard Our Lady's words in the past, the choice is yours. Will you have more success in following our Blessed Mother's words than they have shown? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.